Hello and welcome to the Virtual CMO Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Dickman. Here on the Virtual CMO Podcast, we strive to unlock the best marketing practices for small and mid-sized businesses. We share strategies and tactics from fellow marketing professionals and provide practical advice that you can use to impact your company's marketing trajectory. If you're new to the show, welcome. Each week, our goal is to improve the value of content shared here. I hope you'll join us on this journey and become a subscriber to this podcast through your podcast player of choice. Our primary mission here on the Virtual CMO Podcast is to pass along insight and have meaningful conversations on topics of interest to marketing professionals. If you have questions, there's a link in the show notes to provide feedback or guest inquiries. Now, let's get on with today's show. Thanks for joining us again on this week's Virtual CMO Podcast. Wow, things are crazy out there. We are living in a very unique period in history as we all work our way through this COVID-19 pandemic. The economy has been shut down globally. Businesses are struggling to figure out their next course of action. And we have kind of thrown the rule book out the window in terms of how to write marketing plans and how to generate interest in our products and services, given that the whole economic model has changed. We just don't know right now in many markets and in many segments what people are truly interested in buying. You know, we're recording this podcast in the middle of May in 2020. And some of the economic data that's coming out is shocking in its severity. We've got about 36 million, I believe, is the last figure of people unemployed. And I think that there's a feeling that many of those people are going to struggle to get back into the workforce. As businesses reopen, certainly people that have been laid off or furloughed, the hope is that some of those are going to come back. But I think businesses are also realizing that they're are some things that are just going to be slow to recover, some aspects of business that are going to be slow to recover. And I think that there are others that are going to look at this as an opportunity to downsize, to focus on efficiency, and some of those jobs might not come back. And especially with consumers, I think that there is going to be some significant pressure to save money and not spend quite the way they have spent in the past. We've certainly seen that in some of the initial economic data. Retail sales were down significantly in certain segments, like clothing, for example. That segment was down something like 68%. So we're seeing some major changes. As marketers, how then do we navigate this unprecedented time? Because our responsibility is to build awareness of our products and services, to generate demand, to drive those leads into our pipelines, our funnels, to be able to convert those into actual sales. So how are we going to do that? So one of the things that I wanted to do is answer some questions that I've been getting. So this is from conversations that I've had with people. People have written in. These are clients. And so I wanted to take a couple of those questions this week and really try to dive down into some of the more common themes that I'm hearing, because some of these questions I've heard from multiple people. I think they're very common in terms of what's on people's mind. And so I just wanted to drill into some of those this week, and I always want to get your feedback as well. So at the end of the show, I'll give you some additional information as to where you can submit questions, but I would love to hear your thoughts as well. So let's get into the questions for this week. So the first question comes from Steve in Prescott, Arizona. And Steve writes, my company wants to hold back on marketing spend until the economy is stronger. What should I do? I have seen many versions of this question coming in, and it's certainly been something that I've heard a lot as well when I've talked to other marketing professionals and clients of mine. And this is certainly a challenge for businesses that are strapped for cash, for businesses that are really looking for savings. When sales have slowed, when revenue is not coming in, it's very easy for the executives of those companies to say, hey, I want to pull back on marketing spend. This is an expense that we just cannot afford right now because, you know, we're looking at viability. We're looking to stay afloat. We're looking to try to figure out how we can cut expenses to the bare bone so that we can survive another couple of months. And it's very understandable in this kind of a situation that you want to look at every opportunity to save money. You want to look at opportunities to cut expenses. The challenge, I believe, with marketing is that marketing is the engine that drives sales. If you don't have a marketing machine working for your company, how then are you bringing these leads into your pipeline? How are you raising awareness of your products and services? If you've got a sales force, whether that's an in-person sales force or an in-house sales force, they're calling up on their customers and prospects looking to sell things. And that's obviously one way of generating that interest. But there's only so much you can do with that kind of a lead generation machine. You need to have new people coming into your funnel, new people who have become aware of your products and services through marketing efforts. And so my advice to you is to really hone in on what levels of revenue does your company need to achieve to be successful? Because cost cutting will only get you so far. Cost cutting is a stopgap because you're taking away, you're not adding to. And it's going to be difficult to figure out where you want to invest those marketing dollars right now because it's unclear what's going to work and what's not going to work. But the advice that I've given a lot of my clients is that what you want to do is, number one, you want to be empathetic. You want to show that you understand the situation, that you understand your customers' needs, your prospects' needs, and you want to offer products and services that are a good fit for this particular time. Maybe there's a different product mix that you want to push. Maybe there are some products, whether they're lower price products or products that can be sold as a service so that the upfront costs aren't as high. Maybe there are some promotions that you can do which incentivize people to purchase now, but maybe delay some of that payment until later. Because if your company is suffering, just imagine how many of the customers and prospects that you're talking to are suffering as well. So I think you have to be very empathetic and understanding that many people are in a similar situation. When you're talking to executive within your company that holds the purse strings, you really want to explain that marketing is that demand generation engine. Marketing is the tool that is going to drive that revenue into your pipeline. But you have to be visible. You have to be out there in the marketplace so that people understand what you're selling and why they should purchase it now. And I think this is going to provide some real opportunities for creative marketers to put campaigns together that truly talk about the value proposition, why buying your product or service at this particular time is the right thing for a company to do. Everything that you do from a marketing perspective has to be on point in terms of the empathetic message that you share, and it has to be driven by value. What are you doing to drive value back to your end customer? Because at this point, people want to see value. If they are going to take their very coveted cash and spend it on something, they want to know that whatever they're buying is going to add value at this particular time rather than something that they can postpone and purchase later. That is the message that I would take back up to the higher ups and say, look, if we stop marketing, we might be able to spend or save some short-term money. But what's going to happen is we're going to dry up our pipeline. We're going to dry up our revenue opportunities. And it takes a while to get this engine going. And so if all of a sudden, 3 months from now, you say, okay, now we're ready to start spending money on marketing again, things have stabilized a bit, you're 3 months behind. Already people are feeling a little bit behind because of the weeks that the economy has been closed. That is the message that I would take up to your boss. The next question comes from Pam in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. She said, I'm the only one left on my team after the others were laid off. How can I manage everything myself? Unfortunately, I think this is going to be a sad story we're going to hear from a lot of companies, that people who are laid off or furloughed as part of this pandemic are not always going to be brought back. And so there's going to be more responsibility that's going to be laid on the feet of fewer people within the marketing department. And you know, this is something that I think is affecting jobs and positions across the board. It's not something unique to marketing. But again, because marketing is an expense, I think companies are going to say, how can we do marketing with less? This really brings up a couple choices for teams that are now working with a smaller number of people. First of all, I think you want to do a little bit less. I think it's going to be about experimentation, about really careful data analysis, seeing what's working, what's not working. How are we going to be able to move forward in an effective and efficient manner, knowing that our marketing dollars are being well spent? You want to take this time to focus on what is the content that you have that is applicable given the circumstances. And then, of course, how can you reuse that content? How can you leverage that content? Rather than spending a lot of time creating things that are new, if you've got relevant content, how can you chop it up and make it into multiple pieces of content? Can you take a white paper that you've done and turn it into several blog posts? Can you take those then and, you know, use those for social media messages to promote your blog post and ultimately have an offer that's then your white paper? How can you take these things? Now, that's good marketing strategy in any time. But I guess what I'm saying is if you are now faced with a smaller marketing team with less ability to create new content, I think it's time that you start to go back and look at the content that you've created. What can you reuse? What maybe just needs to be freshened up a little bit? What content can be repurposed that hasn't been repurposed already? And figure out how you can use that more effectively. I think you also have to be very cautious about how many different programs you're executing at any one time. You know, maybe you've had a strong social media presence on a number of different platforms and you're doing YouTube content and you're writing white papers and you've got a blog. I think you need to look at all of these things that you're doing and make sure that each one of them is providing value. What was working in the past may or may not work going forward. I would certainly focus on those channels and activities that have had the best result for you in the past. But I would also say maybe I need to scale back on some of these that haven't really proven all that effective and just set them to the side for now, or at least put them down the list in terms of your prioritization. Focus on the things that have been generating the most value for you in the past and work on those. With a smaller team, you just can't do everything. And the risk is, you know, let's say you were doing some Facebook ads or some Google ads, and you just don't have the bandwidth to keep an eye on those the way you did in the past. Maybe you had somebody on your team that was dedicated to that, or somebody who was dedicated just to SEO. You may find that things start to get away from you, that you're spending money foolishly because you just don't have the time to keep an eye on it. And those are the kind of things that I would be very cautious of right now. Do low-cost things, reuse content as much as possible, try to prioritize what's important, and don't try to do everything. And then hopefully over time, your team can be built back up, or you may start to look at outsourcing some things, whether this is outsourcing to a very low-cost provider, for example, bringing in some experts from the Philippines, where you can get some really high quality work done at a much lower cost than you probably could here in the States, using an agency to do some work, whether that's an online agency like an Upwork or a Fiverr, or whether you're talking about engaging with a marketing agency. Now, each of those is going to come with different costs. Obviously, outsourcing overseas is going to be the least expensive, whereas going with a marketing agency is going to be the most expensive. So you have to be careful there too, because you can quickly surpass the cost of having a full-time employee just by outsourcing some of these activities. And then what have you really accomplished? But there certainly are low-cost channels if you need some specific things done. For example, you need graphics created, or you need a white paper formatted, or you needed somebody to transcribe a podcast or whatnot. All of these are services that can be done very cost effectively and really do not need to be done by a full-time member of your team. Okay, our next message comes from Mike in New York City. And Mike writes in and he says, our company needs revenue and my boss wants us to aggressively market, but I'm not sure if it will work in this environment. What's your recommendation? This is another problem that we are going to see and hear a lot of, is that people, especially in businesses that are struggling, are going to face a lot of pressure from the executives to say, look, I need revenue. I need leads to my sales team. I need to get some sales because, you know, our bank accounts are running dry. So whatever you need to do, get me some leads. And this is challenging because I think, as every marketing professional knows, it is very difficult just to materialize leads out of nothing. Leads take time to develop. They take time to be nurtured and to get to a point where they are actually interested buyers. And it's very difficult to get those buyer-ready leads quickly. And the temptation is, you know, you can go out and buy a list, or you can get involved with some third party who promises to deliver leads quickly. But the reality is, I think we know that that rarely works. And for those companies that are able to provide those, they usually charge a hefty sum for those kinds of leads. And so what I would say is, you really have to push back on this notion that you can just quickly generate leads, because you're going to find yourself in a position where you're spending money, you're throwing good money after bad, and it's not going to generate the kinds of results that you like. Now, in certain segments, there may be things that you can do with certain promotions to your existing customer base, for example, or you can run some advertising that offers some kind of a special deal, a time-sensitive deal. And that is a great way to drive some near-term revenue by doing some of these offers. And if your email box is anything like mine, it has been overrun with all these companies offering various kinds of deals right now. And I think that's the environment that we're working in right now, is people are very reluctant to spend full price on things or buy things that are outside their scope of necessity. I think right now, if you want people to buy, you're going to need to be very sensitive to their wallet and what you can do to ease the burden of making a purchase. So whether that's some kind of an offer or an extension or an add-on, something that makes it more attractive, I think that's going to be by far a better way to go out and generate near-term leads than spending a lot of money on lists or purchases from companies that are promising to deliver high-quality leads to you in the short term. And that's what I would tell your boss, because it doesn't happen overnight. That's why it's very important to have this marketing engine that you're constantly feeding to build those leads over a longer period of time. But in the meantime, there are certain kinds of promotional activities that are the things that I would focus most on right now. Okay, this next question comes from Pam in Idaho. She says, we used to do a lot of trade shows and got lots of leads from them, and now they're canceled. What should we do to get new leads? So for businesses that had in-person events, and that was a big driver of new leads and activity, this is going to be tough, because by and large, trade shows have been canceled for most of the year. And I think we're going to see them come back. I think, obviously, you look at some of the big convention cities like Orlando, where I live, or Las Vegas, or Chicago. And, you know, the trade business is very important to them. And so there's going to be some pressure to get those events back on. But will people be willing to travel? I think it's going to take a little bit of time for that business to recover, at least until there's a vaccine and people feel safe to be in those large groups again. I mean, the thought of going to a big buffet dinner at a trade show doesn't sound all that appealing right now. My recommendation here is that you have to be virtual. You have to figure out some way of creating some excitement online in lieu of going to a trade show. So first of all, I would dig into your past lead generation activities from past shows, whether you were doing booth scans or you purchased a list from the organizer. I would go back for the last several years to see what kind of lists you have, who are the contacts that you generated from that particular event. And I would set up an email campaign where you're talking about whatever it is that you were going to highlight at this year's show, and do a campaign that is sort of a virtual trade show theme. Talk about the fact that, you know, you're not going to be at this particular show, but you wanted to share it. I would really include some video content to try to give people a little bit of the experience that they may have seen at the trade show. If you've got a product or service that you normally demo, I would get some online demos put together that you can include in these email campaigns. And as close as you could normally be to the trade show experience, I would try to duplicate that in some sort of an outgoing email campaign. And maybe set up your website in such a way that it features this virtual trade show and drive people to that. But it's going to be tough. But if you've been collecting leads over the past few years from your trade show participation, and maybe it's not just from the particular trade show that you're talking about, maybe it's from all of your trade shows if they're in a similar industry, put all these things together and start to build email campaigns around those lists. If your lists are poor, you can always reach out to the trade show organizers to see if there's a list purchase that you could make, or there's a possibility of advertising or doing a webinar or something like that with the publishers or the organizers of these various trade events. So there are some opportunities, but I think it's important that you jump on this early, because if you go to a big trade show, obviously everybody's in the same boat, or most people are in the same boat at least. And so there's going to be a real push to try to reach out to these same people. And, you know, they're going to be inundated with emails from all these various vendors as they try to sort of get the word out about whatever product or service they would normally announce at a trade show. So your best bet is to get in there early and to start to build some awareness around your product or service before everybody else does. So that would be my advice to you if you have a big trade show business. Okay, and finally, Tim in Cincinnati, Ohio writes, "My boss wants me to cut back on spend until things get better. What should I be working on?" So we touched on this a little bit before, but my recommendation is really to focus on content reuse. What do you have in your inventory? If you've been marketing, if your company's been in existence for a number of years and you've been doing some aggressive marketing, you probably have loads of content that you've created over that time. Collateral that you've developed, white papers, maybe you've done some web seminars, you've written some blogs, maybe you've done some videos. There's a lot of content that's out there. And what I would do is I would go back to content that's maybe 2 years old and say, okay, what about this content needs to be updated and refreshed? What's your best performing content? And how could you take that content and maybe inject into it a little bit of the current economic situation, the current market realities, to make it a little bit more applicable to today's situation? I think that there's so much that you can do just by refreshing what you have rather than spending a lot of money creating something new. Now, maybe you don't have a lot of great content, and maybe the content that you do have just is no longer relevant because things have changed so much. And in that case, you're going to have to double down and focus on creating some new content to fit the situation. But especially with scaled down teams, I would say focus most on content that can be used across multiple channels. So if you're doing a white paper or a downloadable piece of content, see, what could I do then to break this up into several blog posts? Could I make a video from this content? You know, what is my social media campaign going to look like from these various elements that I have within the content? If there's some research that you did, you know, do you have statistics that you can pull out that you can use in various social media posts? Figure out what you can do to break that stuff apart and use it, but go into that well, that treasure trove that you have of great content that you've developed over time, and see exactly what can be reused in this particular economic environment. Because there's no sense reinventing the wheel. There's good stuff that's out there. The other thing that I would do is take a look on Google, search some of these topic areas that you feel you have good content for or could write good content for, and then look at some of the content that's ranking. It's amazing how content is out there that is several years old that continues to rank very highly. Those are great opportunities for you to go in and say, okay, we're going to update our content. We're going to go after certain keywords that some of these older articles are going after. after and see if you can actually rank for that. There are a lot of great tools out there to be able to do that. So I think that there are lots of opportunities. You just have to go and look at what you have created and how that content can be reused, leveraged in this particular time. Those are five questions that I've gotten. I hope that that was interesting and valuable information to you. I would love to hear what's on your mind. So we have a website that I will link to in the show notes. On there, there's a big button that says contact us about this podcast. If you have questions, if you have feedback, if you have any interest in being a guest on the podcast, please fill out the form. Let us know. We're very interested to hear what you think. We also have some great resources available, some free resources if your business is trying to figure out how best to restart in this economic climate. Some great data that's coming in from early surveys of marketers and what's working and what's not working. I would highly encourage you to check out this resource link to be able to see some of this great data in there. We've talked about it a little bit in the past, and we'll continue to focus on that in future episodes. But there's some great information that's coming out about what's working in marketing right now and what's not. So I'm so glad you joined us today on the Virtual CMO Podcast. I'm looking forward to speaking with you again soon. This is Eric Dickman. Have a great week.